Yeah. That's how I like to come back. I ask you what I ask my wife. Did you miss me, honey? That's exactly what she does. Very little response. Good to see you guys. Missed you. I have to say this, though. Somebody owns a black car with the license plate CMA803. It's still running. Don't feel bad. I would do the same thing. All right, so you can go shut it off. We'll wait. Just kidding. Man, I missed you guys, but so blessed by that incredible series Pastor Paul, Pastor Jason did. Phenomenal. Give him a hand. Unbelievable. You know, when you apply God's word to your life, you can learn so much, but it's really not just about the head knowledge. It's about putting it into action. If you don't put it into action, the Bible says you just become arrogant. Knowledge makes you arrogant, 1 Corinthians 8. But application, applied action is love, and that is wisdom. And that's what we aim for in this ministry always. We're kicking off a series, Keeping Your Head. In other words, how do you stay cool and calm when the whole world's falling apart? Or at least it feels that way at times. You know, I have people ask me all the time, is this the rapture? Is the rapture happening? Well, first of all, nobody knows when that's going to happen. Only God. Secondly, are we in the tribulation? Not even close. Hate to break it to you. This is good times for that 7-year period. And so you see the pandemic. Yes, it is tragic. I want to make sure I say this and hello to everybody watching online and all of you here. But it is tragic to even think about the fact that nearly 200,000 Americans have lost their lives from COVID. We'll go over 200,000 before the month's out. And globally, the infection and the death rate. It's tragic. It is terrible. And what I'm about to say today is not a statement that minimizes the illness and death of nearly 200,000 Americans or the infection of millions who have long-lasting effects from this. There are some. But we cannot keep living in fear. You cannot keep going through life afraid. And if all you do is listen to the news, whoa, or read the news, or get your message and information from propaganda machines who have one purpose, and it sure isn't your well-being, then you're not listening to the one you need to be listening to. You know, people have asked me, did I have a great time while I was off? You know, I tried this 2 years ago. It was horrible. As a matter of fact, my wife and I had an argument 2 years ago like nothing we'd had in 35 years of marriage. Well, maybe the first year. And this year, it was amazing. We just had the best time together. And she just looked at me and said, you really are okay. You know, we had a great time, but we had lots of good times together. And as we've been going through this, I've just been reading. I decided to go to some books in the Bible that I don't read a lot. I use them most of the time in study, prophetic study, Christmas time. You'll see some of that. But I went to Isaiah and Obadiah, Hosea, Micah, and I just read through these books filled with prophecy and these poetry books. And if you go to them looking for American English poetry, it's not, okay? It's Hebrew parallelism, but it's powerful. And more importantly, it's God's inspired word. It's truth. As a matter of fact, if the Jews, who were God's chosen people, had recognized the prophecies, they would have not denied the Messiah and claimed 2 days ago in Israeli news that the new Messiah is here and will be revealed in October. Not conspiracy, okay? So if they really believed, they would have trusted in Jesus. They didn't. But Isaiah is filled with those prophecies that prove Jesus is who he said he was. And we cannot stop living. You know what I love seeing? I love seeing people who are continuing moving on with their life, even in the midst of all of this devastation. Solon was out here singing. Him and Marissa got engaged about a month ago. Let's give them a hand. Isn't that exciting? So exciting. Marissa, where are you? I'm so excited for you. We've told Solon twice, so we're going to tell you. We're so excited. And it was a beautiful proposal in the most beautiful place you said you'd ever been. Yeah, it's only because you've only lived in Colorado for a short time. But we'll forgive you. No, we're so excited. And while we were on our little vacation to the land of logic, South Dakota, we got to witness a proposal as Jacob proposed to my daughter, Brooklyn, and they're engaged, and they're getting married, yeah. Apparently, you don't care about my bank account, but anyways, we're very excited. We love Jacob, and a month ago, he's like, can I talk to you? I'm like, well, you live with me. It's like, yeah, but I mean, like, specific, okay. So he comes out to we go out to my patio, and he's, you know, nervous. He's like, well, I just really love Brooklyn, and just wondering if I can get your permission. There's nothing better than seeing a potential son-in-law shiver and tremble. That's a beautiful thing. If you're a father, your daughter's ever going to get married, make them wait. And so we had this great talk. We welcomed him to the family, and then he wanted to do it real special. I feel sorry for guys today. I took my wife to Armadillo, gave her a ring, said, you want to marry me? Yeah, all right. Today, you got to make this big old thing out of it, the engagement, you know? And so he's like, I want to do it perfect. Well, we're in South Dakota, and he says, I want to do it tomorrow. And we were going on a four-wheeling trip. And so I rented some four-wheelers for the kids, and we had ours, and we went. You can drive on the road out there. It's the best. And so we went up the hills and into the place Shelley and I had been last year. And I had this great idea. We're going to fake like we have a flat. You're going to come around. Brooklyn will come. You'll kneel at her feet. And my wife said, that's stupid. She goes, just take pictures and tell everybody to get in their spots where we can get a beautiful picture. Oh, okay, you're smarter. So we did that. Jordan and Brittany's family went first. And then we're like, Jacob, you and Brooke take some. And right by the river and the backdrop of the mountains, and he gets on his knee and proposes. It was beautiful. See, chivalry is not dead. And it was a beautiful thing to see. We're so excited to welcome him to the family, and we have for over a year now. We just love him. You know, as I think about this, people need to keep living. You know, I think my dad is one of the best examples of a person who is very high risk. He has a heart condition, less than 26% use of his heart, or at least at one point. And he's been like, hey, you guys need to go live. I will stay home. I will wear the mask. I will do what I need to do. People that are high risk, we want them to wear a mask. We want them. If you're watching from home, you still don't feel comfortable going out, don't worry about it. We love you. You're part of this church, okay? But if you can be here, be here. And if you're only not here because you're afraid, let me tell you something. There is a God of heaven and earth, and he has your days numbered. And whether you got a mask on or you social distance for the rest of your life, you are dying when he says, period. All right, period. You know, as I thought about this, I'm reading through these books, and you know, we've had to cancel some stuff. We had to cancel Taste of Grace. That's the greatest outreach of this ministry. Over 24 years, 26,000, 27,000, maybe 30 or more have come here. Free food, free fun. It's just a great way to introduce people to Christians and say we're not all lunatics, right? And we had to cancel it. So what we've done in its place is we are preparing through Jacob, the sports and activity ministry, more family gathering events. We're going to do a volleyball league. You need to sign up today. So when you go outside, I'm going to go outside. Okay, I have a green dot. That means go. I always have a green dot, okay? And I want to hug you. I'll wear a mask. I just want to see you, give you a fist pump, wave at you because I've missed you. And so I want to introduce you to our foyer again. And in the next couple weeks, we want to say welcome back. Go find the lost sheep and get them back, okay? And as we talk about this, you can go out, you can sign up for the activities. Jacob needs that today, so he'll get you signed up, and then he'll let you know the cost and all that, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be safe. You are in the safest environment you will ever be in, okay? Unless you're in an ICU ward, this is the safest place, because iodine peroxide all the way to the floor kills 99.7% of the viruses, including COVID-19. We sanitize, we wipe down after everything. We have masks, we take temperatures. You're signing a waiver, everything that we can do, okay? I can go to Home Depot and stand with 50 people shoulder to shoulder today, okay? So don't live in fear. And as I was reading these books and going through Isaiah, God really was speaking to me in my heart and my mind. And I wanted to talk to you today to get this series kicked off. Before we talk about depression and anxiety and some of that, what really causes it. I want to talk about keeping a cool head in chaotic times. Now, this takes a little bit of background. Sometimes we talk about New Testament characters, it's a little bit more, you know, even though it's only 700-800 years more relevant, it still seems a little bit more applicable to our lives, but all of God's word is applicable. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like he is. And it is alive. When you read the Bible, it pierces through your soul, or through the bones and marrow, straight to your heart, okay? And so God has a word for you today, no matter whether you're a believer, a non-believer, or somewhere in between. And as I was reading through Isaiah, I got to chapter 7. Chapter 7 to chapter 12 are the Emmanuel poetries, the Emmanuel chapters. Prophetic about Jesus and when he would be born, 750 years before his birth, okay? And in Isaiah 7, we now have something that has lasted for 200 years. It's the separation of the nation of Israel, northern and southern. There's Israel and there's Judah, okay? And Judah, they didn't have a good track record of good kings. Out of 20 kings, they had 5 good ones, like Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Josiah, Jotham, and I can't remember the 5th one, but along comes Ahaz. He's been ruling since he was 20. And he doesn't have a lot of wisdom other than man-made wisdom. And in those days, he didn't have a Bible to pick up. They could maybe get some scrolls read to him, but they had a prophet of God. And he was delivering God's directions straight from heaven. At this point, understand what's happening. And I think it's always crazy that we're still talking about the same countries that all of Scripture revolved around today. There's Assyria, the world-ruling power losing its strength. There's Damascus or Syria, and there's Israel. And they're wanting to form an alliance with Judah. So they send a message to Ahaz, we need to form an alliance because we need to destroy Assyria. Well, he doesn't want to do it. He's afraid because Israel at one time tried to attack them. So he was just lost and tried to figure things out his own way. You've probably been trying to do that through pandemics and riots and protests. You know, protests are good. Riots are not. Standing against racism is what we've done for 31 years of our existence, and we will continue to. And yes, Black Lives Matter, but the BLM movement is straight from the pit of hell. And so is Antifa. That's destructive to society. And I don't care if your favorite basketball players or favorite athletes are endorsing it. You need to know what they stand for. We stand for the church. That means all races, all tongues, all nations, all matter to God enough that he died for you. And that's what matters. And so as I'm looking at this, I'm saying, God, speak to me and show me what you want. Well, in Isaiah chapter 7, Ahaz now is going to go meet with Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah brings his son. They go to aqueduct where the water flows in. You wanted to destroy a nation back then, you destroyed their water supply. It would still be true today, okay? And he meets with him, and Isaiah says this, and we'll get to reading it, but I want to encourage you to go home and read it on your own. But he says, ask God for any sign, Ahaz, and he will do it. Could you imagine? You're like, God, I want to know if I should take this job. And he said, ask me for any sign and I'll show it to you. Okay, like make my wife like me all the time. Make my car flip upside down. You know, whatever, right? And he could do that, but he didn't. Why? Well, he gives this pious response. I'm not going to ask God. The Bible says, or the Word of God says, don't test God. Sounds very pious. Sounds biblical. It wasn't. He'd already sent a letter to Assyria to ask them to join forces against the other nations. He was trying to handle it his way. How many of us have been trying to handle this situation our way? How many of us every day are thinking about ourselves and our safety, our security, and our children, our family? Probably most of us. Nothing wrong with that. But God says, I've got a plan. It can't be thwarted. I want you to look at Isaiah 7:4. We're going to jump in there. This is our theme verse for this message. Take a look at this, and I'm going to read it to you. Tell Ahaz, be careful, be calm, and don't be afraid. Circle those three. Be careful, be calm, and don't be afraid. God does not waste a word, guys. Never wastes a word. Every word's inspired. Don't let those two men, this is Isaiah, Rezin and Remaliah's son Pekah, scare you. I could say, don't let this pandemic scare you. Don't let the loss of jobs scare you. Don't let the riots and the protests scare you. Don't let the liberals scare you. Don't let the conservatives scare you. Don't let Trump scare you. Don't let President Trump. Don't let Vice President Biden scare you. Look what he says here. Don't be afraid of their anger and Aram's anger. Those two men are as weak as two barley burning sticks that are ready to go out. They got no power but what God gives them. No person will be president or a ruler on this planet where God's people exist without God's authority, without him saying it's okay. Now, as you've circled those, you got to ask this question, how do I do this? Because I don't know about you, but when people come to me, you know, I've broken a lot of bones, had a lot of surgeries. Oh, just be careful. Don't be afraid. It doesn't always work in those moments, especially when it comes to my kids or my grandkids. You can't just order me to be calm, but God can. Why? Because he can calm me. How does he do that? I'm going to give you the principles from this passage. First, we got to start living, guys, completely in the moment. Start living in the moment. Stop living anywhere else but right here, right now. Some of you have already thought about 10 things like, oh, you know, Rick's shirt's kind of weird. And, you know, I could go somewhere else tonight and have dinner. And maybe we should. You've thought about 100 things. Stop and live in the moment. Stop and live in these moments. Because that's God's plan for his people. Look at what Ahaz did. Now, Ahaz was the son of Jotham, who was the son of Uzziah. When Ahaz was king of Judah, Rezin and Pekah went up to Jerusalem to fight against it. Okay? So what's he basing it on? Rezin was king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, was king of Israel, but they were not able to defeat the city. So Ahaz is worried about the past, and he won. He won. But he thinks that the nation is going to be destroyed, and so he's trying to solve problems on his own. You know, Jesus said this, in this world, you will have trouble, but be sure of this, I have overcome the world. Right? And Jesus also said this in Matthew 6:34. Look at it. So don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will have its own worries. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Why are we tormenting ourselves about tomorrow? Well, I got a doctor's appointment. Someday we're all going to have that doctor's appointment. Yeah, but I might lose my job someday. We all may lose our job. You know, if certain people in this country who are making headlines right now get their way, you're not going to have a church soon. Wake up. You want to be woke? Be woke by God. Okay? So how do we keep a cool head? Here's how we do it. First principle in this story that I, as I was reading and God spoke into my heart, was refuse to be imprisoned by the past. Good or bad, refuse to be imprisoned by it. Some of you have been imprisoned by your sin. Some of you have been imprisoned by somebody else's sin against you. And they're still abusing you, still tormenting you. Some of you are actually stuck in the glory days. It wasn't sin, it was the good old days. And I remember all those things that I didn't accomplish. It's one or the other. Now go back to Isaiah 7:2. A message was told to Ahaz, king of Judah. It said, the armies of Aram and Israel have joined together. When Ahaz heard this, he and the people became very frightened. They shook with fear like trees of the forest blown by the wind. He didn't know they joined together so he could join with them. He's shaken like a leaf. Why? Past issues. Now guys, I don't know what you know about God or what you think you know about God, but I want to tell you, my God, he can do anything. My God, he's bigger than a virus. My God, he heals the sick. He raises the dead. He protects those who have no protection. Do you know that our indigenous tribes, we have 37 churches in the Amazon jungle, 50,000 Shawi in Peru, living in the jungle, no hospital, no IVs, no ventilators. Peru got hit worse than most countries around the world, and today it has passed through all of our indigenous, no deaths to report. They've achieved herd immunity, and two of our missionaries have lost sense of taste and smell. We're praying it comes back. That's what happens when you have to trust God and you can't trust anybody else. So the reality here is we've got big problems, but the day's problems are enough for us to let God handle. Tomorrow, we don't know about. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. That's not a scare tactic. That's reality. Man, we got some precious people in this ministry. I think about Deb Myers, who is one of our security gals. Her husband died 2 weeks ago before I left South Dakota. Literally, the day I was leaving, she called me. She found him dead in their house in Silverthorne. And, I mean, he wasn't very old, guys. We have had some tragic deaths during this time. It wasn't COVID. It was something else. I think about Drew and Jennifer Kellogg and the Kellogg family, beautiful blended family. Drew's ex-wife, the mother of his three kids, who used to be a part of this ministry, she just died, 46. Those boys had to say goodbye to their mother. And we can look at a lot of things and go, oh, it's just terrible. But it seems like there are certain people who want to make sure you're afraid you're going to die if you step outside, if you talk to anybody, if you hug a stranger. Yeah, well, then I'll die. Because God created us for touch, Dr. Fauci. God created us for touch. Isaiah 43:18, forget what happened long ago. Don't think about the past. I am creating something new. There it is. Do you see it? I have put roads in deserts, streams in thirsty lands. That's what our God can do. You know, if you want to hear about things that have been far worse than the pandemic, let me give you what the CDC reported 10 days ago. Guys, I didn't listen to the media to get my facts. I talked to between 6,000 and 10,000 doctors on conference calls every week for 5.5 months. I talked to the epidemiologists in Colorado. I listened to the governor every week. We had audience with the governor. We opened June 7th. I'm just going to say this. It was a battle. God won. Now, in the midst of this, I have. And if you've had more conversations and you've leaned into smarter people than me and you, and they are much smarter than me, then you can help me understand something I'm missing. But I'm telling you right now, the CDC themselves reported about the pandemic and said this, conclusively, 94% of the cases where people were infected and died, 94% were not because of COVID. Only 6%. The CDC said this. The others were comorbidity. They had two or three other major issues, and they died from that issue, but it was labeled COVID. Now, I'm not saying the government's doing this, the politicians are doing this. I'm not. I'm just telling you there is an enemy. His name's Satan, and he loves to make you scared, and he works through fear. So, as I look at this, guys, suicide is up 120% since March among the ages of 14 to 34. We've had 4 attempts and 4 suicides connected to this ministry starting the week after we shut down. Not shut down, but closed the doors. Human trafficking has increased 25%. Child abuse is at a staggering 300% increase. Human trafficking has increased 25%. It was already a global pandemic. Guys, 10,000 children disappear annually. 4,000 in America. Not 400, not 40, not 4, not that one child disappearing isn't horrible. 4,000. There are surveys that people filled out. 48% of them who received this said they're struggling with mental and emotional illness now. 30.9% had anxiety disorders, depressive disorder, and half of the people interviewed said, I have contemplated or attempted suicide. The biggest issue, though, that's striking our society is they're lost without Jesus. And if the church doesn't be the church, they're going to die and go to hell. What's worse, dying or dying without Jesus? I know what's worse, and that's why we will be a light and a city on a hill. So here's what you need. Whether it's your marriage or your family, situations that have happened to you in the past, you need radical amnesia. It's supernatural. You need to forget the past. Forget what's happened. You're like, but I'm not able to do that. No, so when it comes up, you give it to the Lord. When it comes up, you talk to a professional or a pastor. You work through it so that you can let it go. You know, when I was 1981, I preached my first sermon. Some of the people in this room were there. Please don't tell them how bad it was. But anyways, I preached it to an adult room of 500 people, and it was scary. I went to Philippians 3, a book that I had studied that whole summer on my own, just at home. And these two verses stood out to me. Look at this. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. Underline that. Here's Paul's one compelling focus. I forget all of the past, circle all of the past, as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Like, well, wait a second. He says he's strapped to the future. No, he's not saying I'm presumptuous about the future. He's saying I'm here living in the moment, strapping on to God for the future. But notice forgetting all the past. What does that mean? Not just the bad stuff. You got to let go of the good stuff. You know what I think as your pastor and on behalf of the elders and the staff, do you know what I think one of our issues is? Among us, because of me mostly, having so many things coming at us, oh, let's do this, let's do that, let's go here, let's go there. We rest on our laurels. Well, you know, for 31 years, we've seen 300,000 people come through our services, and we've seen, you know, 70,000 baptisms and salvations, and we have this and that. And man, guys, I'm done with that. People are dying without Jesus. And that's all that matters. We got to go get them. We got to go after the lost sheep. We got to go after those who are Christians who are living in fear. You got to bring somebody with you that needs Jesus. That's what you need to do. You need to open up about your faith. You don't have to be a preacher. Just love God and love people. So keeping your head means I got to let go of the past. Second, I got to resist trying to live in an unknown, unpredictable future. This is my biggest hangup. I don't have a problem letting go of the past. I really don't. But I always think about the future. I'm a visionary. I'm thinking about what we need to accomplish, what we can accomplish next week, next month, next year. Do you know that for 20 years of my life, as maybe longer than that, as a professional pastor, I had my schedule by the hour, by the day, by the week, mapped out for 2 years. 2 years. That's why people are like, well, why can't I ever get in to see you? That's why we have other pastors to do this stuff, because I'm booked. It was crazy. That's not a way to live. You got to find balance, man. Be organized. Don't be obsessive. And we're getting back there. I'm getting to a better place now. But guys, resist trying to live in the future. Here's what happens with Ahaz. Then the Lord told Isaiah, you and your son, Shirjashub, should go out and talk to Ahaz. I love that the prophet of God was told by God to bring his son to see what he does. Beautiful picture. Go to the place where the water flows into the upper pool. This is on the road to the washerman's field. Tell Ahaz, be careful, be calm. There's our verse again. He says, these men are like two sticks. They'll be burned up. Be calm, be careful, and don't be afraid. Well, you know, I already told you that his response was, I can't test God. But the truth was, he had already sent a letter to his enemy trying to fight against the very two people that wanted him to join with them. And you know what the saddest part of all of this is? He's worried about being destroyed that day, and God is telling the prophet, Israel will be taken into captivity by Babylon 70 years later. Not now, 70 years from now. Man, I am just up to here with Christians, pastors especially. This is the end. We're in the tribulation. No, we're not. Next week, I'm going to teach on prophecy. I don't do that very often in a service. We're going to go ahead and do it. Whether you're a believer or not, I want you to hear the truth. And these guys that use fear, whether it's the media or pastors, drive me nuts. That is not what God said to do with prophecy. He said, be encouraged so that you're living for my purposes now. Guys, we can't worry about what happens next week, next month. God says, you're my children, all things work together for good, period. If you die here, you live in heaven forever. That's it. It's the greatest. You know, I read 1,000 near death and people who had died for upwards of 5 to 10 minutes, actually, and then came back. You've heard the stories. I read 1,000 of them while I was on my break. Do you know what they said? Almost without exception, every one of them said, oh yeah, there's the light and I saw Jesus and all that stuff, which I don't doubt most of it. But they said this, I never felt more alive than when I was dead. You know why? Because we're dead in sin. It's Jesus that makes us alive. And when we die, no more sin, no more death. We win, period. So we've got to stop living with this fear of the future. The future's in the master's hand. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. Let's all read it together. God is speaking this to us right now. Let's read it. Here I go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's timeless principle to us. That wasn't just for the nation of Israel. That's for his children. Trust me, I have a plan for you. I have watched this with my own children, my grown children. I won't go into details, but they have been through tough stuff with this shutdown. Losing businesses, losing income, losing all kinds of stuff. You know what's happened since then? Incredible miracles. New birth of new ministry and nonprofit ideas and family and finance. God has provided. It didn't look too good 5 months ago. Can't worry about a future you don't control. You know, there's a movement today. Those groups I mentioned, BLM, Antifa, by the way, if I thought Black Lives Matter was about Black Lives, I'd be the biggest supporter. Biggest supporter. But you got to care about the 36 African Americans who have been killed in the riots and never been mentioned. You got to care about every black person that's a part of our family and part of our country. And we're all people, we're not black and white. And by the way, Jesus wasn't white anyways. Jesus was dark, okay? Somewhere in between Middle Europe and the Middle East and Africa, he's from that area. We have got to live for the moment. Look at this in James 4. But you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring. For your fleeting life is but a warm breath of air that is visible in the cold only for a moment and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, our tomorrows are in the Lord's hands. And if he is willing, we will live life to the fullest and do this or that. That's the answer. I'm gonna live, if it's your will, Father, this is what I plan to do. That means you still plan, but you don't presume and you trust God. You know, I know Roger and Kim are here and we've been talking about you this weekend. I hope it's okay. I didn't ask your permission, so I'll ask your forgiveness. But, you know, this beautiful couple meant so much and means so much to this ministry. And Kim has been battling cancer, and it's been over a year ago you got a pretty clean bill of health. And just a few weeks ago, they found cancer all over her body. And we want to pray over her as elders and anoint her. But I want to ask the whole ministry here and online to watch and pray the same prayer we've prayed for Pastor Jim. I believe God has sustained him even with cancer for over 20 years. But pray for her healing. And for Roger, as they go through this. And you know what, guys? That we pray for everyone who turns their prayer requests into us. We believe that God is faithful and he will work everything for his glory. You gotta forget the past. Don't try to live in an unpredictable future. And then finally, rediscover the fulfillment of living in the moment. If Ahaz could have only done this, he didn't, so he wasn't around much longer. But rediscovering the fulfillment of living in the moment, I think the whole pandemic, you know, the whole control, the draconian rules and laws of these people that think we're 10-year-olds and, you know, wish we were because they're not even affected. That's science, okay? These kids, they're breaking my heart. That's why our youth ministry, our children's ministry is so critical now. They're finding hope here. They can't even find it at school because they can't even go to school. It shouldn't be that way. I'm not talking politically, I'm talking logically. Say, but there's teachers that are high risk. Put a shield in front of yourself. It's about the kids. I've spent my life in ministry. It's not about me, my family. We've made the ultimate sacrifice. We have. And it's not about me. I would say the same thing. It ain't about me. This church isn't ever, it's never been about me. It's about Jesus. It's about God and his glory. So what happens with Ahaz? But I, the Lord God, say, their plan will not succeed. He said it. Within 65 years, Israel will no longer be a nation. If your faith is not strong, then you will not have strength to last. You think he felt a little stupid? Oh, I'm worried about something's not going to happen until I'm dead and gone? Yeah. But it was too late. Why? Because he tried to fix it himself. How often do I do that? How often do you do that? Oh, God, I'd love to trust you, but I got to do something. This isn't going to work out. And then you do the wrong thing. And he's like, this is actually what was going to happen. So that's why we say, it's not my will, but your will, Father. So I want to close with this thought. Why do you think churches have been labeled non-essential? Why do you think that in most states, including ours, you're not supposed to have people gathering? Because there is an enemy. His name is Satan. It's a spiritual war. I'm not blaming anybody politically. I think many of them are doing what they think they should do. It's a very hard position to be a leader of anything. I'm a leader of thousands of people. I can't even imagine leading 350 million people. And as I look at this situation, I am reminded of the fact that the church, if it's hidden, I talked to pastors this week who are not opening their church until the end of 2021. One isn't opening till 2022. I'm like, what? And this was the comment, but we're good. Finances are fine. I'm like, the church isn't a show. We are to be together, worshiping together, encouraging one another, greeting one another, praying for one another. There's 59 of those, by the way, in the New Testament. We call them the 59 one another's. You can't do that through the media. Now, I'm thankful for those who can't be out that we are able to provide this. But guys, we need to be together. Go get the sheep and bring them back next week. We need to be together. We need to invest our time and our talent and our treasure in the kingdom. Because when you find out, hey, maybe I only have a month or a year or an hour, what happens to all those things you were living for? They become meaningless. I jumped out of a plane this year. It fulfilled my bucket list. I've done lots of things, bungee jump, rode bulls, climb rocks, lots of things. And my family thought it was time for me to jump out of a plane. I had to cancel it two times in the last 15 years because both times I broke bones the night before my jump. So anyways, I was really careful this time. So we drove to Canyon City. My whole family surprised me. They all jumped, and then my daughter-in-law, my wife jumped. And at one point, my daughter-in-law jumped, and then my wife jumped. And we had been watching all these jumps, right? And my wife's, almost said balloon, woo, her parachute didn't open. And I'm looking up and I said to my son, that doesn't look right. And it's spinning. She said they were spinning like this. And all of a sudden, the deployment, the kind of braking little bag you see that flies out, comes out, and then it opens. When they got to the ground, the instructor goes, okay, get rid of that pack. We're done with it. That's always a good sign, right? I'm glad that was the last jump of the day. But you start thinking, what if? We got in the cars to go to lunch, and I heard a story on the news that day, 18-year-old girl dies in skydiving accident. We're not dependent upon some parachute. We're dependent upon the God of heaven and earth. And he says, here's how you assure yourself that you're not going to be living in the past or speculating about the future, but living in the moment. Look here. Don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. In other words, it's not what my heart says is where I'll put my treasure. It's where I put my treasure that my heart starts to follow. You always obey before you feel it. I was 14 years old when I gave my first offering out of my first paycheck. It was brutal. I'm like, $50? And that was in the 80s. That was a lot more. After that, I slowly got more excited to give. And before long, and if you know me, I love to be generous. It's like my favorite thing in the world. With God, it's not generosity. It's returning a portion back of all of his generosity. And he says, do this with your time, your talent, and your treasure. So you're saying, okay, Rick, I don't want to live in the past. I still struggle with it. We all do. I'm not going to presume on the future. I've never had that problem. But living in the moment, how do I do that? Here's what I did. I got alone with God in ways I never have before. If I'm here, I'm always interrupted. If I'm home, I'm always interrupted. I don't mean that to my kids or my wife or anybody. It's just reality. So I got alone with God, uninterrupted, and just listened to him speak, read his word, and he spoke into my heart. And I was looking at Isaiah going, you know, what was the turning point for Isaiah? Well, it came in the chapter before. Look at this in Isaiah 6. Just listen to this before I show you a very special video and we close. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty angels, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips and live among the people with filthy lips." By the way, that would have been all of our responses apart from Jesus. I'm filthy. I'm disgusting. You're so holy. I'm coming apart at the seams. That will be unbelievers' response before they're cast in the lake of fire. But look at this example of Jesus in a hot burning coal. "Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking," and I love this picture, okay? He's like, "You're forgiven." And then God looks to the whole majestic crowd of people and angels and said, "Hey, whom shall I send as a messenger to my people?" And Isaiah's like, "Here I am, send me." Why? Because when you spend time with God, you want to go tell everybody. When you spend time with God, you can't help but be an evangelist. When you spend time with God, you trust him. You get excited. You need time with God. Guys, this isn't enough. Even if I preach 10 more minutes, it's not enough. You got to be in the word. Let God speak to you. You got to take those opportunities here. You know, the worldview class yesterday with Pastor Paul, the growth classes, all that we do in small group, you've got to take the steps. God will meet you there. So here's how we do it. We pursue God relentlessly. This is how we do it. We pursue God relentlessly. You say, "Well, I don't really know what that means." Okay, what's the last thing you really wanted and you saved up money and you bought it? Pursue God with at least that kind of relentless fervor, and you'll get close. Second, love others selflessly. You know, I am sad that by June, we had fed and taken care of 8,000 families in our community. Did you know that? 8,000. But since then, about 100. We got to do more. We've got to do more. And we can only do what our resources provide. There are hurting people everywhere. My wife left last night. She got a call. She went over to a woman who had been evicted, 81 years old. All of her stuff was out on the ground. My wife drove up to a police officer, said, "Can you follow me? My husband's not, I can't reach him. And he told me I can't go alone to these situations." I'm like, good job. And the cop's like, what's your name? She's like, Shelly. He's like, someone just stole a vehicle exactly like yours, and we were hunting that person. She said, it's not me. Can you follow me? He's like, all right. So he followed her, and they got this woman taken care of. There are so many more hurting people now. I mean, an 81-year-old is almost my mother-in-law's age. And finally, enjoy life immensely. Do you know God cares about you enjoying life, and living in fear is no way to live? It's not. So stop. Isaiah 9 is the promise of the Son of God. Look, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. There's your counselor. Mighty God, there's your king. Everlasting Father, there's your daddy. And Prince of Peace, there's your peace. His government and its peace will never end. And before I come out and finish this, 1 John tells us how to do it. Our love for others is grateful response to the love God first demonstrates to us. I've written this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Not behave better, because you'll break that. Not belong to a religion, because that doesn't save you. But believe in the name of the Son of God, that you'll be assured and have no doubt that you have eternal life. You know, I've watched this through our youth ministry. Our teenagers need you. If you've ever contemplated serving, do it now. Now. Tuesday the 22nd, they have a big get-together. They need more volunteers to come and serve these kids. But I think of a sweet gal, Katie Dennis, who's part of our youth ministry. And I've seen Katie playing basketball out on our court for a long time. But it's as simple as loving these teenagers where they're at. Listen.
When I play it, the whole world just like feels on pause, and I just like feel like really in the moment. I don't like really think about life at that moment. So life growing up, it was kind of hard. I didn't really see my dad, but when I did, I would go over there every other weekend, and like I wouldn't be able to like do anything over there. He wouldn't like really give me any attention. Then again, I was like a little kid, so I wanted attention. When I like officially moved out of his house and didn't have to see him, we moved into these Willow Green apartments that's right next to Grace Church. I noticed that Grace Church had a basketball court. And so like I was like really into basketball, and so I met some friends at my apartment complex, and I couldn't go to the court alone, so I brought them with me. And so like the workers in the lodge would like keep coming in and out. So the first person I met was Scott Dozer. He came and gave me and my family Christmas gifts, and he waited to come over till I was home from my basketball game. Grace Church had this big event going on. I saw Scott, and I like talked to him. Made me happy. I was like, I know someone here at Grace Church, so, like they don't think I'm a stranger. He told me I should come to youth group. When I came to youth group, Brooke, she was like talking to us and just like was mentioning how Jesus, like what he did for us. So I'm like, these people, like we're pretty much like the same. I met Brooklyn's boyfriend, Jacob. He's a youth leader at Grace Church. And when I saw him play basketball and him making every shot, I was like, I want to be like that. And so I asked him like how he shoots like that. And he just like gave me some basketball advice. And so like now we bond over basketball. Brooklyn introduced me to her cousin, McKenna. She's the one who got me to go to summer camp. I really didn't want to go at all. But the more McKenna talked about it, the more I wanted to go. And summer camp was just really fun. I got to know more people because of small group and my team. I really got to see people's story and got to know them. I started knowing what worship was at summer camp. When I saw everyone having a great time and just singing about Jesus, it was really good and fun. And so I started doing it and it was even more fun. And now I feel like every time I worship or just listen to anything about God, I feel like He's hearing me. I would like to thank all the leaders and all my friends that I've made here at Grace Church. The leaders, you guys have really touched my heart and definitely have brought me to the point where I now think of myself as worthy. And I honestly could not have done it without you guys. As I look back to when I started coming here all alone, I felt like I was on my own team, but I am very thankful for the team I have around me now.
Thank you, Katie. We love you. You know what Katie said? I feel worthy. You are worthy. She knows that now because of Jesus. You know, it just takes something simple. Taking time, stopping in the busyness and encouraging somebody. Boy, everybody needs that now. Just letting them know God loves you and you are worthy because of Jesus. And maybe you're one of those people that you're here or you're watching and you're like, I don't even know if I'll go to heaven, and I'm trying religion, or I'm trying this. Guys, stop trying. You can't earn it. God says we are all sinners, and He says we're separated from Him eternally. And He says even some more bad news, you can't even do enough good works to get rid of your past sin. So He comes into the world wrapped in the form of His Son, and Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, dies on the cross. And He pays for all of your past sins, all of our present sins, and all of our future sins. And He rises again 3 days later to prove He is God. And He said, you don't have to guess, hope, wonder. All you have to do is believe that He did that for you and receive that free gift. And He'll come into your life and change you forever. And you don't have to fear anything. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. If that made sense, and today you're saying, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to make the best choice of my life. Just right now in your mind, say this to God. God, I admit it. I'm sinful. I've sinned. And God, I realize there's nothing I can do. But I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I receive the free gift of salvation. Thank you, God. Friend, a miracle has happened. You are born again. His Spirit lives in you and you're going to heaven, and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward, but in a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand, put it right back down. It just tells me you got it. So if you're saying, today, I got it. I put my trust in Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all. God bless you. Thank you. Praise God. Wow, Christians, that's what it's about. That's why we've got to be a city on a hill, a light in the darkness. To all six of you or seven of you, thank you for letting me know. Welcome to the family of God. Told you I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you, but we are here for you. And all you have to do is just text the word believe to 313131. We'll call you back this week. We have a gift for you. We're not going to put you on a mailing list, nothing like that. We just want to love on you and encourage you. You made the best decision. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these you've called into your kingdom. Thank you for your salvation. And thank you, Lord, that we do not have to fear. We don't have to feel bad about the past or fear the future. You are here meeting us in the moment. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. Before we do, come out and see me in the foyer. See Jacob. Sign up for the activities. You need to get out. You need to exercise. You need to get around other people. All right? You look good. You just need to exercise.